Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Hello and good morning. Today is another Blog Talk Radio episode, an Ignite Your Life class like no other. I'm Christy Bemis, and I'm your host and author of Ignite Your Life. It's a book about living your passion and your purpose. I also am a speaker, a psychotherapist, a sex educator, and relationship coach, and I'm so glad you're here to join me today. Today is kicking off a series of shows that we're going to be doing around couples and relationships. And today we're talking about a really common issue called weaponized incompetence. And apparently, unless you've been living under a rock, you should know about this. I must be, because I just heard about this term. A colleague of mine shared it with me when he and I were doing some work together at the beginning of this month. But I guess it's been around for quite a while, and some of you may have seen the 2.7 million plus hits on TikTok of women sharing their own stories around weaponized incompetence. And so I want to share this this kind of buzzword that's out there. I think it's similar to buzzwords that have been out there most recently, like gaslighting and things like that, when it comes to relationships. And so I want to share this with you because I'm a newbie at it, and I think it's a super interesting concept, and let's learn together. You can also check out my new YouTube channel and show Authentic AF, which highlights a guest talking about authenticity and overcoming obstacles to achieve their true authenticity in life. You just need to go on YouTube and search Hot Pink YO University. And I invite you to also find me on the web at www.hotpinkyou.com or on Facebook, Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. I always share things that will inspire you to live your life with passion, purpose, and hopefully a lot more play and pleasure. Yeah, let's dive into this topic. Raise your hands if you have heard of this, this phenomena called weaponized incompetence in relationships. Uh-huh. I see you. I see you out there raising your hand. For those of you like me that apparently have been living under some kind of a rock, I had not heard of this, and I just am really enjoying how it kind of plays off of some old concepts I've worked with couples around in psychotherapy throughout the years and in my sex education and relationship coaching practice as well. So, what does it sound like? What is weaponized incompetence, right? It sounds like, I have no idea how to do that. And so in that way, the person gets out of doing that because they just don't know how to do it. Or, I'm not very good at it. You're much better at doing it. So why don't you just do it, right? And so it's a way of shirking their duties and not following through with things. I think you should just do it. Or remember the last time you had me do it? It didn't go well, right? You can hear things like, you're better at that than me, or I'm so busy. Could you just do it instead? And so here's what it is. It's one partner in the relationship, and I want to be really clear. This is not going to be a male-bashing episode. I never do that because I personally have seen it played out by women just as much as men, and I'll share with you why, but differently and maybe more subtly, or maybe more appropriated to how we are enculturated as what men should do and what women should do. And it doesn't just play out in heterosexual relationships. I see it all the time with my same-sex partner couples that I work with all the time, where one partner leans on this as an alternative more than another. Is it at a conscious level? Is it strategic? Is it thought out? Sometimes it really is. Sometimes it really is a person who wants to get out of their duties of doing something, wants to just maybe play video games, wants to do their thing, wants to not do the adulting thing at all times. So I have seen it very strategically played out. I also see it most often as a person that it's just how they function. It's how they perform a lot of their life all the way up until now. And so it's just playing out in partnership as well. So it is the inability that's exaggerated in performing basic tasks that we have to do as adults, that we sign up to do in the adult world when we're in partnership and relationship. And it's tasks like from cleaning to cooking to making plans, making vacation plans, making plans for travel, making plans for the weekend, making plans with friends, to budgeting and like not overdrawing the account, saving enough money, not overspending, all the things that go into the financial arena, to training dogs, like getting a dog and you know, having one partner only in the partnership training the dog, all the way to disciplining kids, to managing the schedule, like the day-to-day functioning of how our house can thrive and survive things, to just basic everyday parenting of the kids, you know, basic everyday parenting. And basically what it is it's then shifting that burden of responsibility back onto the other partner. And then the other partner, what I've been calling it, and I didn't even realize what I was calling it, is the underfunctioning and the overfunctioning partnership where one person always responsible or often and the other is not. And so I didn't even realize, but I have been working with couples on this particular concept for a very long time. And I, like I said, I see it play out with men and women. I see it play out with women a lot of times with like helicopter parenting and putting all the disciplinary and tasks onto the dad and just saying, they listen to you better, you're better at this. I see it play out with women a lot of times with the fiscal piece of things of like, I don't know how to manage money. You just know how to do that better. And so I don't, you know, I have other things or I'm so busy with XYZ. I have other things to worry about that I don't want to also then worry about where the money is or what's going on with the money. And basically healthy partnerships, divide tasks well, follow through with those tasks, but also there's a piece of appreciation around the task. Thank you for doing that. And there is also a knowing of, I know that you have a handle on the budget and I'm not completely clueless about it. I know what we're doing and we review it together every once in a while. I know what you're doing around, you know, managing the household schedule. And every once in a while we review it and see if I need to jump in and do more around that. So that's what healthy couples function like. That's what they look like. That's what it feels like. There's times where maybe one partner is busier, and so there's times where that partner has to kind of, you know, burden the load onto the other person. But in general, that balances out again, it evens out, and life goes on, and we feel good with one another. And we feel good about our contributions. We feel good about the weight of our contributions, the appreciation of our contributions, and our partner feels good about what they're doing too. So that's what a healthy partnership looks like that doesn't have the weaponized incompetence like what we're talking about that can be a very chronic and needs to be resolved issue. And at the very end of our time today, and we're getting to that soon because these shows are short and sweet. I want to give you bite-sized little nuggets to take away with you every single day. And so we'll go through what are some ways to get out of this cycle of weaponized incompetence. How can you get away with it? I want you to see how it impacts if you're the target or the end result or the impacted person in weaponized incompetence. I want you to see the target. I don't want you to minimize what's happening or laugh it off and just be like, ha 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 ha, this is just part of being in a marriage, because you see, if it's getting 2.7 million plus views and like going viral on TikTok and other sources, I saw some on Instagram, some memes there as well, and I've been reading some articles around it. It's actually not a new phenomenon. It's actually something that's been around. It was often called strategic incompetence back in the 1980s and plus. And then it kind of had a reemergence in the 2007, 2009 area of things. But really it's been hitting big lately because of the videos that mostly women are posting as to, you know, I asked my husband to watch the kids and this is what it came home to. I asked my partner to mail these packages out, and then there's like a scan onto the table of all the packages sitting there. But here's how it makes the partner who is in that relationship with somebody who's weaponizing their incompetence feel. It creates a sense of distrust. And I talk about this a lot. If you follow me on Instagram, hot_pink_university, I recently created a meme that really resonated with people, that follow through equals trust equals intimacy and sex. It's true. Follow through means I can trust you're mailing those packages. I can trust that you're taking care of the kids, but also like not letting the house get destroyed while that happens. I can trust that when I ask you to do something, you've got it. I can trust that there's money in our account, and if there's not, that we're communicating about that and being really open and honest around how we're managing our finances, right? And so that trust then translates into sex, as often many things in our relationship does, because sex becomes the playground in which we carry out often how the vibe of the relationship and how things are truly going. It's often the barometer of, are we doing okay? You know, not to put a lot of pressure on sex, but hey, if something's, you know, chronic burnout, chronic like conflict, sex is the first thing to be impacted in the relationship. And when we look at sex like it's playtime with our partner, which I often refer to it as in my work with couples, if we look at sex as it's playtime with my partner, what do you do when you were younger and you had a fight with your friends? What was the first thing, you know, you would isolate, you pick up your toys and you'd stomp off and be like, I'm not playing with you anymore. And that is exactly what happens with weaponized incompetence, is I'm not playing with you anymore until you follow through with what you say you're going to follow through with. So that's why following through, partners, equals establishing greater trust, equals if you want more sex and you want sex to be better, that's one door that can open things up for you. It also makes the partner feel like there's just this total lack of support, that you feel underappreciated. It can lead very much to burnout, just feeling overall stress, like the weight of everything is on my shoulders, right? I have to carry everything. It leads to, again, what I refer to as over-functioning. Well, the other person is under-functioning. You might walk in after working, you know, an eight-hour shift, running groceries, picking up the kids from wherever, dumping some things off at the bank, and walk into your partner sitting back and enjoying, like, you know, a cocktail and watching a show, right? And it builds that feeling of I have to carry the burden of everything on me. With women, when it's happening to women, the impact is often a term I like to refer to as masculinized, where it's like I have to kind of armor everything up. I have to like shut down my emotions in order to function through the day. I have to just nose to the grindstone, get things done, you know, and it really creates a hard shell around a woman, and they show up in a very aggressive and non-emotional way. There's a great book that I read many, many years ago. Oh, gosh, I had to be back in the early 1990s, called The Bitch in the House. I think I still have it on my bookshelf. It was a great book on how women, yep, I see it right there, right next to After the Affair on my bookshelf, The Bitch in the House. And what it had to do with is studies around why women are faring better after divorce, why women are happier after divorce. And part of it is that they felt like, with this weaponized incompetence, part of it was that they felt like stomping around the house all the time, and that everybody was on pins and needles around them because they weren't getting the help and the support that they needed, and that they were shouldering the whole burden of responsibilities that were shirked often by their partner. And so, really interesting read. Often, a partner, what I hear partners that are dealing with weaponized incompetence over a long period of time is they feel very parentified. Like, I don't just have two kids, I have three kids. Right? I hear that often. Or in the vice versa with men, I feel like I have to be her dad, like to rein in like these things and like give her rules, you know? And so I hear this a lot with couples, and that's not a super sexy way to show up or be in partnership with somebody. Trust me, it is not a sexy thing to be parenting another adult person that's living in the home with you. Impact, though, the biggest impact, people, is resentment. I always talk about this word, resentment, because resentment is a buildup over time of just not getting your needs met, just not feeling heard, just not having things change. I've brought it up. My voice has gotten amplified. I've made you very like clear on how I'm feeling, or vice versa. I don't bring it up because I don't want to have conflict with you. I don't want to rock the boat. But meanwhile, the growing resentment is bubbling up. And when resentment stacks up on each other, it leads to hating that other person. It leads to what John Gottman talks about in his research with couples, that one of the horsemen, the third one, you know, there's four horsemen in a relationship: criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. And it leads very much to contempt in a relationship. And so let's move into, at the next, few moments of our time together today, what do you do about this? Okay, I'm recognizing me here. Hello, I raised my hand, or if I didn't at the top of the time, I'm raising it now. I recognize me in this situation. My partner is doing this to me. Or this is even more important, I am recognizing it. I'm doing it to my partner. Hey, ding, 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 ding. Number one skill that I ask couples to come in with, self-reflection, the ability to look at yourself and not just always shining the light on what your partner needs to change. It makes the biggest difference to whether or not your couple's work will work. If you have the ability to self-reflect, you and your partner both need to come in with the ability to self-reflect. So if it's happening to you, being able to call it out. Now, all of the memes, all the articles I read that were, you know, telling you, like, you need to call it out. That's great, but how? Some people just don't know how. They're more of, like, passive communicators. And I think that there's ways to call things out. Or some people are calling it out, and they're like, I'm already doing that. I am calling it out left and right whenever I say. But it's the tone in which we call it and the timing that's super important. And a lot of couples, when I talk about softening their startup with each other, and this is a Gottman technique that's like tried and true with couples, if we soften our startup, meaning I am triggered that again you didn't take out the garbage, again I walk in after like 8-hour day of work running a bunch of errands, and the one thing I wanted and needed you to do wasn't done, right? That's probably not the time to point that out. The time, you know, like when that would happen to me in my relationship, I would go to my bedroom, I would like change clothes, I would come back down and be like, hey, I got to talk to you about something. You know, can I invite you into a conversation? On a good day, when I was fully resourced in that capacity. Now, mind you, I am not always the softest starter in a conversation. So I'm not saying I do things perfect or I have done things perfect. But when I was really working at things in relationship, this is the work that's done. It's slowing things down. It's taking care of your own stress level, managing your own anger, and then coming back in and softening that startup. I have four skills that I teach couples: curiosity, empathy, validation, and deeper listening skills that we don't often learn. And I definitely think that there needs to be a lead of curiosity, like, what's happening here? Can we unpack this a little bit? But also, your partner needs to be curious with you, like, this feels like weaponizing competence to me. Like, it just feels like you totally have the ability to take the garbage out. You totally have the ability to watch the kids and still manage the house not being a wreck. Like, you have that ability. You're just choosing not to do that. Talk to me about that. What's happening for you, right? And I also think it helps to lead with feelings. Remember the feelings, what is the impact on you? That you feel a lack of support, that you feel underappreciated, burnt out, overfunctioning, masculinized, parentified, resentment, distrust, all those things. When we can lead with feelings with our partner and we use the four-part techniques that I teach often with couples is I feel, I need, or I observe, I feel, I need, I want. It is so powerful to be able to say, I observe this. I am feeling this, and this is the impact it's having on me. I need this, and here's my ask. Like, when we can use these skills, and we have to look at relationship skills like it's a construction zone. It's a whole new way of showing up in relationships. It's a whole new way of talking. What do we do in construction zones? We slow down. We slow down. And so slowing things down so that we can learn these new ways of being with one another. The other thing that a lot of the articles talked about was don't minimize behavior. And I think sometimes we laugh things off, we use humor, and definitely in the videos that I kind of saw supporting this on TikTok, there was like this humor around it, which can minimize. I think we need to be really clear the long-term impact. Sometimes I'm working with couples, usually around the 7 to 10 year mark, that this has been an issue from the very beginning of their relationship. And they are in a shitload of trouble at this point because it never got truly dealt with in the first 3 to 5 years of the relationship. It created a solid foundation that was crumbled. It wasn't set properly. And so the earlier you can get help, the better. See couples at the 25 to 30 year mark. This is just, they've resigned themselves of, this is just how it is. But meanwhile, they've gone 8 to 10 years without having sex. You know, the resentment has built. They no longer feel connected intimately to their partner. And this piece of how I follow through with things and how I show up in relationship as an equal partner in a team is super important. And so oftentimes, we need to get to the root. Like, is our partner doing this because they're trying to avoid an argument with us? Are they trying to avoid conflict? Are they trying to avoid criticism? Like, the way you want me to do that, I don't do it the right way, and so then I feel criticized. For some of my partners I work with, there's an undiagnosed or undertreated ADHD issue that is an organizational executive functioning, like a very real brain-based issue that is going on for that person. And so getting that checked out and getting into treatment with that, where you learn therapist how to chunk things out, how to follow through, how to organize your life better, like that can be invaluable to partnerships to change the course between over and under functioning to being a partnership and a team. There also is very real brain-based reasons why men do what men do and why women do what women do, although now I often refer to it in our very, you know, non-binary society. I refer to it as more leaning towards testosterone brain, how much our levels of testosterone affect one brain versus estrogen, because I think, you know, we have both of those, but they weigh heavily on one brain and heavily in another brain. If you have a very heavy testosterone brain, often referred to as male brain, it is the parts of our of the brain that can multitask are not as prolific. They're not as fully formed. And so that's where the estrogen-oriented brain can multitask. Those things were not, you know, killed off or pruned away by the levels of testosterone coursing through. testosterone impacts, you know, what was pruned away, and it impacts what is then re-emphasized in the brain. And multitasking is not one of them. So if I ask my partners, I'm leaving, can you fix the dishwasher? My assumption in my mind is, and watch the kids and make sure the dog gets, like, walked a couple times today while I'm gone with, you know, my friends. I might come home to a very fixed dishwasher and a wreck of everything else. And sometimes that can be, you know, that you ask me to fix the dishwasher, like, that's I focus on one thing to get one thing done. And that often can be the case. And so it doesn't mean we just poo-poo it away, but we understand it and we plan for it better. And, just lots of things around that. I mentioned this a couple times already. Another way to combat weaponized incompetence is to talk about it. Like, we're on the same team here. How do we want our house to function? What is our vision for our relationship? What is our vision for, like, who plans romantic dates? What is our vision for how we want vacations to go? Like, can we have a shared vision together and be on the same team with one another? And the ability to be willing to negotiate. Like, if you don't do things perfectly my way, I'm willing to, like, negotiate that down to, can you get it reasonably done, right? Can the house be reasonably clean for people that are coming over? And what I want you to avoid is not showing enough appreciation for one another. And I hear this with both men and women in heterosexual couples is, I just feel underappreciated, you know, and not asking for perfectionism or the right way to do things, but for it to get done to a certain standard, right? And what if there's a weaponized incompetence around something you both aren't really good at? Like, let's say we're not good at communication. I didn't learn how to communicate very well in an observation from my parents or their relationship. Nobody ever taught me that. Or I never learned how to budget. I don't even know, you know, what a budget sheet really even looks like for me, right? And so what if learning together, taking a cooking class together, learning new recipes together, ordering in like a bring home service for 6 months so that you learn new recipes together, right? What if we found solutions of how we can learn this competency as adults together? There is no class that teaches us how to be adults, you know? Couples that do better in the work that I do with them will meet, if possible, 2 times a week. And I'll talk to you about what those times are. If not possible, 1 time a week. And the 1 time a week is this one, where it's the talk time, where we come in and I have an agenda that I give to couples. We celebrate and appreciate one another in that 1 time a week. It could be Sunday night at 6, could be Thursday night at 5, could be Friday night at 3 before the kids get home from school, whatever that looks like. This is our time where we're going to talk about how the week felt to me. What are some things that I felt maybe heard about? What are some issues that still need working on? It can be a time to check in. How do you feel like I'm doing on, you know, my competency around the budget? It could be a time to check in on schedules. It could be a time where you lead with celebration, then you talk about what's been hard, and then you talk about what support you need, and then you end with just some really good gratitude with each other. That's the agenda. Celebrations, issues and challenges, support needed, and gratitude. Those are the things that I work on a lot with couples. 2 times a week, if you can, go on a date. And the key to this date is, one, each person plans every other one. 2, a date doesn't have to be 5 hours. It can be 30 minutes, right? If you're really busy, can you get 30 minutes in with each other at least? And the date is problem-free zone. It's not a time to talk about the kids, not a time to talk about your issues. It is a problem-free zone that you create for each other to manage, you know, the sexiness in the relationship, to bring out the playfulness in the relationship, and to make the relationship your number one priority. I hope this was helpful today. This was a super fun topic for me to research for you. I love, you know, geeking out on articles and even looking at TikTok videos and memes. It was super fun to see what people are kind of putting out there to communicate. And I want to thank you for being here. And just a reminder that you know, 30 minutes that you spend is so important and valuable for you to feel an ignited life, for you to feel alive. You can find me at www.hotpinkyou.com and feel free to join the email list. They're always filled with great information. I do a great Wednesday wisdom card poll from my card deck, 50 Cards of Wisdom for Women. And I often will have free resources on my Friday, Friday 5 newsletter that I put out. So it's a great place to stay in touch with me. I encourage you to dream big, live your life with so much passion, and be well, and always be authentic. Thanks so much for joining me.